My remarks are going to be brief this morning. Several people are headed to the summer camp with their young people. And, you know, a good group of our people here at Lakeshore are going, and we pray that they have a safe week and learn a lot about God and make some great relationships. Those are all very, very important things. And so we pray for safety going there and back, and just hope you have a great week at camp. And Ellen and I are going to be taking Riley, so we're going to be getting away from here as soon as we're done. So our lesson's going to be a little bit shorter than normal this morning. Usually people, I've discovered, don't mind that. You ever notice that? Not a lot of arguing. Okay. But we're talking about, you know, how Jesus taught us to pray. And really my goal in this is to help anyone who might acknowledge they struggle with praying, because we all need to be praying. And we may not, you know, have it all down. And what I'm saying is, if nothing else, you know, start here. And I don't think this is intended to be, you know, something we memorize and say, and that's the sum total of our prayer life. That's really not the purpose at all. But if nothing else, you know, I think every member of our congregation, every person who's here, should be praying. And if you don't know really how to begin, you know, start here. And I think if you pray this sincerely, it will grow. And the things that we're talking about, you know, will help us better understand. But seriously, if nothing else, you know, I would just like to know that every member of our congregation prays. If nothing else, pray the Lord's Prayer. It's a wonderful prayer. And it's a great place to start in learning about prayer. You know, I said it's for those who struggle. I really believe we all struggle with prayer. You know, we talked last week about how the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8, we don't know how to pray as we ought. That was the Apostle Paul who said that. And he talked about how the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Paul said, I don't know how to pray really for what I ought to pray. And I don't think any of us really grasp fully what all is involved in entering into the presence of the Father in heaven, whose name is holy. You know, how can we ever just think we've got that down and maybe nothing more to learn about it? So Jesus gave us this prayer. You know, I said last week that our goal this year, our theme, be doers of the word. I don't think there's anything that we can do that has a greater impact, you know, and more effect to building us up as a congregation or as individuals, you know, if we're struggling. Maybe prayer is what we need. But what can we do that helps us more? Now, I'm not saying once we've prayed, we've been doers of the word. You know, really the design of this theme for the year is that we need to help people. We need to be involved. We need to go and get involved in people's lives. I'm not saying prayer is the most important thing. Go in your room and pray and you've done everything you need to do. It's kind of like Kevin reminded us 2 weeks ago that we need to pray for broad shoulders so that we can bear other people's burdens. You know, if we're not feeling like helping people, we need to pray to God about that. But the key to getting out there and doing all the other things that we need to do, doers of the word, you know, it might just start with praying to God and confessing to Him that we don't always feel like doing what we ought to do. We need to pray to God. And so that's why I say it's the most important thing we can do that'll help us as a congregation and as individuals. If we're not really, you know, where we ought to be in our relationship with God, we need to pray. And again, if nothing else, start with the Lord's Prayer. Wake up in the morning and say these words and think about what they mean. And as you do that, you know, you'll grow in the things that you say, certainly. But if nothing else, I think it's the fifth time I've said it this morning, if nothing else, you know, start by praying this wonderful Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught His disciples how to pray. And we talked last week about how it begins with, you know, the introduction is really, it's so comforting, and it gives us boldness, but it's also, you know, a reminder of how great and awesome God is. Our Father, you know, that gives us boldness to know that we can approach Him like a son approaches the father, and He loves us like a father loves a son. But this is our Father who's in heaven, whose name is holy. And so it's not just a casual way of talking, you know, like we would to our earthly fathers. We're talking to the Father who is in heaven, like the song we sang that Kelvin led, I stand in awe of Him. Holy God, to whom all praise is due. You know, what an amazing thing that is, that we can call Him Father and we can approach Him. But we should never lose sight of the fact that, you know, He deserves our respect and our reverence and our all. Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Your kingdom come. We talked about that a little bit last week. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we should pray for. I think we had a good concrete example of that in our country this past week. You think there's any racism in heaven? What do you think? No, but there is on planet earth right now. And we should pray that God's will would be done on earth, just like it's being done in heaven. And this prayer is kind of like Jesus in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. We need to start with ourselves and be sure we're not guilty of any racist attitudes. And so pray for God's will to be done on earth. You know, Christians haven't given up on planet earth. You know, we should be trying to spread the kingdom of God on earth and make people like Jesus here on earth and doing our part. Let's talk about, well, we discussed those two. And something really neat about the prayers, in everything we've said so far, it's just been focusing on God, been focusing on the kingdom. But now it really focuses on our needs, our daily bread, our sin, temptation that we're going to face every day, and finally, the threat of evil that exists anywhere, you know, anytime, any day of our life. And so isn't that neat? He starts by praising God, the kingdom. Seek the kingdom of God first. Pray for the kingdom of God first might be an application. And then, yes, you know, our needs. And you look at that list, those are things that each and every one of us needs each and every day of our life. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, he didn't say, again, give us a fully funded retirement account. It's amazing that he folks, I think it's hard for us to relate to this because we have so much. But really what the prayer is just give me enough food to get through today. God looks at things one day at a time. You know, and he wants us to approach life that way. There's nothing wrong with making plans for the future, saving up. That's a responsible thing to do. But here and in other places, we see that, you know, we just kind of deal with life one day at a time. Daily bread is not so much of an issue, a struggle, I don't think really for anyone who's here this morning. But there are other things that come our way that I don't know that we can handle them except one day at a time. You know, it might be emotional problems that we're going through, or relationship problems, or it might be health problems or trials. And the Bible teaches this idea. The key to survival is just give me through one day, if you will. Matthew 6:34, he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for every day is its own trouble. That's really an amazing statement. This is at the end of Jesus talking about worry. And he says, you know, don't try to tackle tomorrow's problems and all the problems of the next year. How am I going to retire? How am I going to get my son through college? How am I going to, you know, how can we solve all that in one day? We can't. And what he really says there is every day is going to have its own challenges. That's what it says. Sufficient for each day is its trouble. I mean, Jesus is telling us you're going to have a little trouble today. You know, and God is in control. He's going to give us just enough trouble to keep us humble, but not so much that we can't get through it. And so maybe we have a hard time relating as far as our food we're going to eat, but all these other issues of life, God teaches us to deal with them one day, maybe not even one day, maybe 1 hour at a time. Things that we worry about so much, and how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to solve this problem? I don't know, but I know that you can get through the next hour, you know, if you pray and ask for God's help. And I know that you can get through the next day. And I think it's really wonderful to wake up in the morning and say, give us this day our daily bread. Because we know that God is going to take care of us. We may not know how every problem, distant future, is going to be solved, but we know. And I'm almost positive, everyone in this room, you know God is going to get you through this day. And you're going to have probably more than enough to eat. And He promises that He will do that. And so you know, tomorrow we'll get up and we'll pray this prayer again and we'll find out that God will supply our needs again. But there's a great peace, I think, that comes to us in just knowing that God is taking care of us. And he's going to get us through this day, and he's promised to do that. And we can rejoice and enjoy this day knowing that God is going to do what he asked. And so we need to learn to live one day at a time in all the areas of our life. And that's one of the things you see in the prayer that he taught us to pray. The next idea is to forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is something else that we need. It's a need that we have every day of our life. And so we pray for God to forgive us. And the wonderful thing is, he promises, if we pray that prayer with sincerity, he will forgive our debts. And this is far more important than just food to eat. You know, this is a spiritual need. And how wonderful it is that if we pray with sincerity, God will forgive us our debts. And we have no need to be afraid in our relationship with God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, look at this, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, that's a promise that no matter what we've done or how we've been struggling recently, this is why I say pray the Lord's Prayer. Everybody, you know, if you're looking to get some traction in your religious life and get closer to God, pray the Lord's Prayer. Because if you pray this sincerely, God is faithful. He will forgive us based on the blood of Jesus Christ. He will cleanse us from all of our sins. I want to point out here we're talking about a wonderful promise that applies really only to God's children. This isn't something just anyone can say a prayer and expect God to forgive them. There are conditions of salvation that God has given to every human being, and by obeying those conditions, we become a part of his family. That's how we become a child of God. That's how we enter into this wonderful relationship where God is our Father and we can pray and he promises to forgive us. How we become a part of that family, I think, is one scripture that describes it. If you'd like to turn your Bible, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, it says that we are all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's how we become a part of this family, through faith in Christ Jesus. But then he goes on to explain. He says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It's not just accepting Christ, but he gives the example there of baptism. As a way this works, he says, as many of you as were baptized into Christ. That's how you enter into this relationship. And he says, you have put on Christ, but you become a child of God. And this wonderful blessing of prayer, this assurance that God will forgive us, is for God's children. People who can truly, you know, pray to him as their Father. And so we become a Christian through trusting in Jesus and believing in him, repenting of our sins, being baptized into Christ, like that passage says. And now as God's children, then we do enjoy this wonderful promise, praying to him as our Father, forgive us our debts. If we pray it with all sincerity, he promises that he will forgive us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. What does it mean to pray with sincerity? It means we repent, truly repent in our heart, not just say the words. We all know that's not how it works. We've got to be sincere in our hearts. Forgive us our debts. We have to be willing to turn from our sins and serious about fighting against sin in our life. We cannot secretly harbor sin and not turn it over to God and continue to practice it and expect God to forgive us. We have to sincerely turn from our sins. And a big part of that is what Jesus goes on to say with respect to this commandment. As we forgive our debtors, we cannot expect God to forgive us if we're not willing to forgive others. And I suppose if we were to pray this in the morning, you know, this is a time when we need to stop and look at our heart and say, is there anybody, you know, that I am unwilling to forgive? Is there anybody that I just despise them so much, I don't want to have anything to do with them? I would not help them. I would not pray for them. I would not be their friend. I would not support them if they were struggling. I'm not willing to tell them I love them and forgive them and want to help them get closer to God. You know, if there is someone that we're not willing to forgive, we can't expect God to forgive us. This is conditioned upon our forgiving one another. Forgive us our debts. How? As we forgive our debtors. And you probably know at the end of this prayer, he adds this on. After the final amen, thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then Jesus added this little addition to his teaching. He said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We can't expect God to forgive us if we're not willing to forgive others. And so when I pray that prayer, I just always wind up thinking, is there anybody I haven't forgiven? Is there anyone that I'm, you know, continuing to struggle with and just, you know, not working to make peace? And if there is, you know, I really need to just stop praying right then, because God's not going to answer that prayer if I continue to hold on to those things in my own heart. We'll talk about temptation and evil and asking God to help us with those next Sunday morning. But I want to talk about just one last scripture before we close this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 talks about prayer, and it says, be anxious for nothing, but look at this. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You know, that's another reason why we pray. What he says there is, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. We shouldn't have worry in our lives. And the key to overcoming that, he says, is prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer, let your requests be made known unto God. What do we worry about? We worry about material things. We worry about our food. We worry about our jobs. We worry about our houses. And what we should worry about more than anything else is our relationship with God, our sin. But as we've seen this morning, you know, Jesus says, pray about these things. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If we pray this prayer, we don't have to worry any longer. And God will usually, you know, just take care of our need in some way. Our needs will be met. We have a guarantee he'll wipe our sins away, you know, if we turn from them. And we don't have to worry as Christians. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to say that prayer and know that God hears us and promises to give us these wonderful blessings. So I hope you'll think about these things. You know, we're going to sing a song in just a moment. And really what this song is about, Lord, I'm coming home, it's about repenting. It's about saying, forgive me of my debts. It's the story of the prodigal son. He came home and he said, Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. Make me like one of your hired servants. And God is illustrated by the Father, you know, who forgave his son. And again, that's what we have to do. That's all we have to do in order to be forgiven by God. Acknowledge the fact that we've sinned. We're not worthy to be called his son, but he wants to forgive us. And he will, if we will sincerely ask him to do so. And this song is really a prayer that we can all just sing and think about the words and ask God to forgive us. If you need to take a step of a public nature, or you've never been baptized, certainly you can do that today. We're ready to help you. But I hope everybody will think seriously about the words to the song and apply it to yourself and sing it with all your heart. As Calvin leads us at this time, if we'll all stand, if we can help anybody, please come forward at this time.